50. Bank Monument. Milgram had never liked the city. It had always seemed too monolithic, though to some older scale of monolith. Too few hiding places, a lack of spaces in between. It had been turning its back on people like himself for centuries, and made him feel like a rat running along a baseboard devoid of holes. He felt that now, very strongly, though they weren't running. Walking, but briskly, owing to Heidi's long legs. He was wearing a black Sonny jacket that Heidi had purchased off the back of an agreeable Turkish-looking office cleaner, here in Lombard Street, paying with a fold of bills. Or at least that was what it had embroidered on the left breast, in white, in an otherwise very good approximation of the Sony logo. His own jacket was stuffed into his bag, on top of his laptop. The transaction had also yielded a grey knit acrylic hat, which Heidi wore pulled very low, her black hair tucked completely out of sight. She turned her jacket inside out, revealing an impressive scarlet silk lining, exaggerating her already formidable shoulders. This would be out of concern, Milgram assumed, with being recognised, either by any remaining associates of Foley's, or by the ever-watchful cameras, which Milgram now noticed everywhere. Immediately, he regretted thinking of Foley. That had been very bad, the business with the truck and the two cars, and he couldn't help but believe it to have been his fault. That had definitely been a bandage on Foley's head, under the cap, and Milgram could only assume that it had had something to do with that young Russian mother's bodyguard in Paris. If Slight had sent Foley after the Neo, as Milgram had intended, he would, in fact, have sent him after that ominous-looking pram. And it had happened because he, Milgram, had given in to some unfamiliar impulse to rebellion. He'd done it out of anger, really, resentment, and because he could. Now Heidi produced her iPhone, thumbed the screen once, listened, then held the phone away, as if to ignore a message she'd heard before. When she put it to her mouth, she said, "Listen up, Gareth. Hollis Henry's in deep shit now. Kidnap attempt, look to me. Call her." She tapped the phone again.
"Who was that?"
"Hollis's ex," said Heidi. "Voicemail, I hope."
"The one who jumps off buildings?"
"The one who doesn't return his fucking calls," said Heidi, putting her phone away.
"Why don't we get a cab?"
He had seen several pass. "Because they can't stop a train." In the canyon of King William now. More traffic. More cabs. The strap of his bag digging into his shoulder. The Sonny jacket scented faintly, and not unpleasantly, with cooking spices. Perhaps from a recent meal. He was hungry now, in spite of the Vietnamese with Winnie. He remembered Hollis's dongle, the cellular connection, in the channel. He wondered if phones worked on the London subway. He didn't think they did in New York. He'd never had one there. If they did, he could send Winnie a message once they were on the train. Tell her about Foley and the Hilux. Had it been an attempted kidnapping? He supposed it had, if not worse. But why would anyone attempt that on the passengers of a cartel-grade jankle armoured truck? But then it occurred to him that graduates of Parsons School of Design probably weren't necessarily up on that sort of thing. An entrance to Bank Station ahead, pedestrian traffic picking up around them. And that was the central line. They'd ride straight to Marble Arch, close to Portman Square, and walk to the hotel. Quicker than a cab, probably, and maybe he could get on Twitter. Heidi swung suddenly around, whisking back one side of her inside-out jacket, as if to show him the large brooch he now saw she wore there, three rocket ships, perhaps, nose down, silver with crimson tails. And plucking part of this away, She flung it behind them, the entirety of her long body pivoting behind it. Someone shrieked, as terrible a sound as Milgram had heard, and continued to, as Heidi, rough as any policeman, rushed him down the stairs and into Bank Monument.